What's going on, everybody, boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen? This is your sixth man of Dead End Sports. This is your one half of Off the Bench. Q, a.k.a. on Twitter, Q Got No Rings, a.k.a. 6'7", young, you know how I do. I'm just kidding. But basically, I wanted to come to you all today and introduce a new segment entitled Post Work with Q. And I am Q, so I wanted to just keep an update. I wanted to give you all an update on what this is going to be, what basically this is. And Post Work with Q is going to be a new segment that I do where I might not do it all the time, but if I feel compelled to go in depth and give you all my take on a certain topic that we cover on the podcast, or things that not necessarily pertain to basketball enough so we didn't cover on the podcast, you know, things of that nature. And that's why I want to do this, because I think you all would hopefully, you know, care about what I gotta say. I appreciate all the feedback that we've been getting on the show. We're still trying to work those mics out, you know. I listen to this stuff and I know exactly what y'all are saying when I hear the difference in the mic qualities. I hear the static that we get on some of the on some parts, you know, like we'll be talking and then like some static will happen and go back to being fine, but it's all throughout the podcast. And I understand that that makes for an uncomfortable listen. I understand that that makes for something that is frankly annoying as shit, so I understand. But Post Work with Q is going to be, like I said, where I might unpack some things that I didn't get a chance to talk about on the podcast because we had time constraints or we had more topics, things of that sort. So let's get right into it. I wanted to talk to you all today on the first episode of Post Work, where I give you all my take, my full take on just what LeBron's ring means to me and what it should mean to you if you're a fan of greatness and you're a fan of basketball. Alright, basically, LeBron's ring to me, I guess I should start this off once again, even though for those who might not have heard in the podcast, I picked the Golden State Warriors to win in 7 games. Yeah, I know it sucks. Sucks that they didn't win, but I'm not that mad about it. You know, I'm not a Warriors fan. I picked them because I just thought Cleveland couldn't hang, and for 2 games they couldn't hang, and when they got 3-1, I was certain it was going 7, but I didn't know that they would choke like this. And I say choke because that's exactly what this was. You're up 3-1 in the NBA Finals. You basically just thrashed them in 2 straight games. You're up 3-1 now. And yeah, they might have got you good in game 3, but every team led by LeBron James is going to give you one great response. And that always happens in every finals that he's in, minus his 2007 finals, because that team was just ultimately bad. But, like I said, you're up 3-1. And for the most of the year, everyone was giving the Warriors so much, you know, praise. Everyone was on their knees, bowing at Steph Curry's feet. And it pissed me off because I was just like, all right, now, I understand Steph is fantastic. Steph is great. Steph is, frankly, if he keeps this up, he'll probably go down as the greatest shooter of all time. And what we saw in the season was, I believe, poetic justice. I believe it's poetic justice because we are witnessing what happens in today's NBA when it comes to chasing records and chasing history. And sometimes doing that can lead to unforeseen circumstances. And I believe that the Warriors did themselves in by going for that record. I stated this on Off the Bench, one of these episodes. I'm not mistaken, it was one that we did, I believe, right after Boston had beat them. And I proclaimed very, very boldly that Golden State would not win the finals. So if you listen to the last podcast, it might not be up by now, but it probably will be. I said I'm a sham and a prophet at the same time. And the reason why I said that is because of that exact reason. I told Ryan that they were not going to win the finals, and that was admittedly because I thought San Antonio was going to win. And that didn't happen, as we see. You know, a couple calls here and there, a couple great plays, you know, from KD and Westbrook. And the Spurs are just too old, so that didn't happen. But we saw that going for that record completely messed up the Warriors. I believe they were tired. I believe that wore them down. I believe that exhausted them. And I believe that put them in unnecessary situations that people like LeBron, people like Kyrie, people like Kevin Love, and a lot of the starters on Cleveland were not in. LeBron was coasting most of this year. He didn't rest that many games, but he was getting good rest in the games. You know what I'm saying? Like, Tyronn Lue was doing very well with his minutes this season. And I just think that did them in. And many of you might be listening and say, yo, Q, man, it doesn't matter because they were doing so good in the playoffs. Were they really, though? Let's just unpack this. Were they really doing this good, or was the competition that they faced just that bad? And I think we can have this conversation now, especially after last year. Certain championships mean more than other championships, you know? And I'm sorry, if Allen Iverson beat the Lakers in 2001, we might be putting him in top five player all-time discussion just because of what that means, just because of the personnel and his opposition he had to face. If Allen Iverson beat Shaq and Kobe, then we would all be saying, yo, that was one of the greatest finals performances ever because of what that meant to a city and what that would mean for just one player, right? For his legacy, that would cement him as, yo, he took on the Giants and he prevailed. Now that did not happen, obviously. We all know that AI lost in five games. The fact that he even got one is beautiful for his legacy, but we all in Philly would definitely want Allen Iverson to. We wanted that championship, obviously. But the reason why I make that point is because this is what LeBron had to go up against. LeBron went up against juggernauts. He went up against people who were calling the best player in the NBA now, Stephen Curry. People like Stephen A., Skip Bayless, and a lot of basketball guys say that, oh, he's the greatest shooter of all time. No question now. Better than Ray Allen. Better than Reggie. Better than, you know, just name one. They were putting him above them by miles. And it's just like, damn. He's that much better than them? And I'm not saying that he's not, but we have to look at what we're even talking about here. We're talking about a team that was 73-9, and they lost after being up 3-1. So the point I'm trying to make when I correlate Allen Iverson's hypothetical non-existent win against the Lakers in 0-1 to LeBron in 2016 is, they're about the same, you know? The Warriors were in contention for one of the greatest teams of all time. Let's be very frank here, you guys. Let's be very, very frank. We were playing around. Oh, they could probably beat the Bulls. You know, there's a discussion. It was a debate. They were literally asking, could they beat the 96 Bulls? Could they beat the 86 Celtics? Are they better than the 87 Lakers? After what I witnessed, after what I saw, I'm not sure this Warriors team could beat the 04 Pistons. Like, let's be serious here. And I'm not on no hater stuff. I'm not hating on anybody because I do like the Warriors. I like what they bring to the NBA. I like that they ushered in this new era of small ball. I like Steph Curry a lot. I think he's top five player in the NBA easily. I love Klay Thompson, top five shooting guard. Draymond Green, top five power forward. Might be even top two, top one. You know. Sorry, Blake, you know, and they were in contention with those teams. People were propping them up to be just that. Now, if I told you that a team that went 73-9 lost after being up 3-1, and you had no knowledge of NBA, if you were a child, and I said, hey, you know, in this sport, you have to play 82 games. And if I told you that, hey, this team won 73 games, only lost 9 of them, out of 82, you'd say, man, they're probably the best team ever. I know they went all the way, right? Well, they didn't. They came up short 3-1. And many of you will attribute that. Those who are very short-sighted will attribute that to, I mean, well, Draymond was out game 5. Bolden, he was down. He was playing. Everybody would have won. If Harris Barnes played better, then they might have been better. Yeah, obviously. We all know this. Well, I can do the same thing.
If Kevin Love and Kyrie Irving were playing last year, then the Warriors would have lost.
Like, come on. It's the same thing. Let's be serious, you guys. Let's be very, very serious. Let's be very frank that around this time, around June, around, you know, May and April, people are hurt. People are injured, especially in the playoffs. I'm not trying to hear the injury excuse.
Well, Stephen Curry had an MCL sprain.
I don't like that excuse. That's an excuse. That's an excuse for him throwing a behind-the-back pass, going out of bounds when you just have to pass it to Klay Thompson, who's wide open. That's an excuse for him getting locked up by Kevin Love. That's an excuse for him firing up threes that didn't even hit rim. Like, didn't even hit rim. And we're giving him a pass. And I'm not in the mood to hand out passes to players who you all are propping up to be the greatest shooter. And his team was in contention to be one of the greatest players, one of the greatest teams of all time. Let's be very, very serious here. Let's be very frank with what we're talking about. 73-9, didn't get a ring. Like Scottie Pippen said, 72-10 don't mean a thing if you don't get the ring. So yeah, I'm going to say that this season is useless. The season was a sham. Season was a wash. Doesn't matter. People will always start their summary of this season for the Warriors as, man, the Warriors, man, they were great that year. But there will always be a but, just like the 07 Patriots. Tom Brady, man, Randy, oh my God, man, that team was great, undefeated, but because that matters. All you guys who don't, you know, subscribe to the ring argument, oh man, rings aren't that big of a deal for players' legacies. It is. Rings matter. This is why we play the game. We play the game to win championships. Can a player win a ring by himself? Absolutely not. That is a fact. But can a player who you prop up to be one of the greatest shooters, and you prop up his team to be one of the greatest teams ever in contention, and they don't close out after being 73-9, up 3-1, on a team who's literally playing with just three guys. That team on the Cavaliers, the stars aligned for them. Kyrie, LeBron, Tristan, and they had some contributions here and there in spots, in spurts, from people like Shumpert. Barely. They had contributions from people like JR in spots. They had contributions from people like Richard Jefferson in spots. Richard Jefferson, Shumpert, JR were not a huge part of this finals. For the first two games, JR Smith looked so tentative, just like last year. Shumpert, that 4-point play he hit in game 7, that was very, very good. I'm proud that he did something. But other than that, can you really name me a play that Shumpert has done that has really either sparked the Cavaliers' run or turned out to be a positive play that, you know, started, you know, once, just give me one play. Give me one play besides that 4-point play that is memorable for you as a watcher, a fan, a spectator, or a hater. Give me one play. All I can remember Shumpert doing is a whole bunch of bonehead plays and low IQ plays that literally hurt the Cavs more than it helped the Cavs. It helped the Warriors. And I just remember Shumpert taking a bunch of ill-advised long twos, holding the ball, you know, just doing terrible stuff. Like, he wasn't that good. So you leave basically just two players with JR and Richard Jefferson. And even then, those guys didn't do enough for me to say that they had a fantastic series. They had, I guess you could say, you know, it's so hard to quantify this. I don't want to be rude, because I did say on Dead End Sports that I did say that JR wasn't remedial in terms of IQ, and I still stand by that. I still do stand by that. But I have to give him his credit that he pitched in with those two back-to-back threes. That was huge. The Warriors were up 8. If they go up 10, I don't think the Warriors lose that lead. I think that Steph and Draymond would have, you know, clamped down, and that would have been it. JR's two back-to-back threes, fantastic. So what is my point here? Where am I going with all this? Like I said, three players were the best in that finals for Cleveland, and that was it. That's really all they had. Let me know what Mo Williams really did. Let me know what Dele really did. Let me know what Mozgov really did. Let me know what James Jones really did. Let me know what Shumpert really did. Let me know what JR and Richard Jefferson did for 7 games. For 7 games, who were the most consistent players on the Cavaliers? It's undisputable. It's indisputable. It was LeBron James, the king, Kyrie, the young superstar, and Tristan Thompson, the rebounding demon. That's who your team was. And you literally got beat by those three guys. A top 5 player in NBA history cemented, a young superstar, and a rebounder out of this world. That's who you got beat by. The one of the supposed best teams of all time. This is why this is such a big deal, you guys. This is such a big deal because the Warriors had everybody. The Warriors had everybody ready to go. The Warriors weren't hurt. The Warriors weren't injured for the most part. They were in running shape. They had Klay Thompson, who willed your team to a 7-game series win over a better Oklahoma City team. And people will point to the Draymond suspension. They'll point to, like I said, Curry and Bogut and all that stuff. Well, I'm not really hearing that. I'm not hearing that because you're supposed to close out. If you're the MVP and you're up 8 at home at a game 7 for all the marbles, and you don't close out, guess what we call that? We call that choking. We call that choking. You can fire up the Reggie Miller gif and everything. It's choking. He choked. That behind the back pass, terrible. Those ill-advised threes, terrible. He just looked like he was playing games. He was being too cute with the ball. He was trying to be all, you know, trying to be all loose and look like he's all confident in his team. I know for certain that man was nervous. He had a false confidence swagger about him, and it showed. He looked shook. He looked shook, like no Mobb Deep reference, but he looked shook. He looked absolutely shook, and that was because he knew LeBron was on that ass. LeBron was right there. Kyrie was working him all series. And we also have to bring into consideration Steve Kerr. In my opinion, Steve Kerr was not the coach of the year. We have to go back and look at Terry Stotts and what he was working with. He was working with Damian Lillard, CJ McCollum, who is an up-and-coming guy. You have Allen Crabbe, who before that season wasn't really making much headway, and now he's played himself into a big contract. You got people like Noah Vonleh, Mason Plumlee, Gerald Henderson, a bunch of, you know, Al-Farouq Aminu and all those guys. These are a bunch of journeymen. These are a bunch of, you know, wily vets. These are a bunch of guys who can shoot the basketball, right? Well, most of them, not Plumlee and Aminu, you know, for those who watch basketball, you understand what I'm saying. So the problem I have with Steve Kerr is Steve Kerr, he just did not deserve that coach of the year. And it showed in the finals, because he got out-coached by Tyronn Lue when the money was on the table. When the chips was down, Steve Kerr folded. Steve Kerr kept Azeelian with horrible minutes. Azeelian was terrible. He kept Varejão in when he needed to pull him earlier. And he let Cleveland go on a lot of runs at their house. And I know he was doing his best Popovich impression, but dude, I'm not really in the mood to hear that Steve Kerr was only coach of the year because of how great of a coach he is. He was coach of the year because his team had the best record. Now, many will say, Q, what the hell are you talking about? Shouldn't that make him coach of the year? No, dude, because this is why stats, this is why analytics, this is why history can be deceiving. This is revisionist history that people will try to push on you as an NBA player. It's like when people bring up that, oh, Kobe has the most misses in NBA history, but they forget those 3 years where Kobe was literally the entire team. That's revisionist history. You're just glancing over everything to insert your point because it's a stat. And that's why stats can lie. That's why analytics can lie. And that's why I don't subscribe to many of these, these guys who have never even touched a basketball, who go out and act like they're the authority when they don't even know how to do a proper pick and roll in pickup. Like, it's terrible. So that's a whole nother rant for another post work, but it ties in with this because that was like, Q, he had the best record. How can he not get the coach of the year? Well, like I said, you look at what Terry Stotts had. He coached the entire season. Steve Kerr coached 39 games, my guy. He coached 39 games. Fam, let me stop you right there. 39 games is not enough to gauge if you're that good of a coach or your players are that good. Fam, let me stop you right there one more time. Because I can hear the people typing, I can hear the people listening like, what? Man, come on now, dude. Let me stop you right there. If Luke Walton coached the entire season, then I'd say it'd be Luke Walton. If Steve Kerr coached the entire season and he got his team to 73, then I'd say Steve Kerr deserved it. Well, guess what? 39 games and you got coach of the year. And then you get outcoached when the money's on the table by Tyronn Lue. I'm not buying it, dude. I'm not buying it. LeBron by himself pushed you to 6 games last year. I'm not buying these revisionist history, headlines, dude. It's just not working for me. It's not working for me, y'all. And I just really have to give credit to LeBron and what he's done as just a top 5 player in the league. I'm not subscribing to the people who are, trying to prop him up like next to Jordan, because it does mean something to me that Jordan never had to leave his team to go get 6 out of 6. It means something to me that Jordan never had to team up, That just means something to me. And no one can ever surpass Jordan for what he means to me. And even if you surpass him in stats, this is why I think stats are very, to be frank, stats are almost, I'm trying to find the correct way to word this, so I don't piss people off without, it's just, stats can be misleading. Let's just put it like that, you guys, put it like that. Stats can be very misleading. And if LeBron passes Jordan in points, if he passes Jordan in assists and all that stuff, I'm pretty sure he already has by anything except points. But he probably will. By the end of his career, probably might. It means something to me because the eras in which he played. And I'm not trying to take this section to shit on LeBron, but I just want to talk to the people who are like, Q, do you think that he surpassed Jordan? Do you think he surpassed Magic and all these guys? Nah, I don't think he has. I think LeBron is top 5. My top 5, for anyone who cares, number 1 is Michael Jordan. Number 2 is Magic Johnson. Number 3 is Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Number 4 is Kobe Bryant. I know some of you guys just slammed the table when I said that. And 5 is LeBron James. If LeBron gets one more ring, I might have to consider putting him past Kobe. If he gets another one in Cleveland, I might have to consider putting him past Kobe. But as of right now, I can't, because I'm not going to live in the moment and just say a whole bunch of hot takes and let you guys, listen to me do that. Because that's just like, I hate when people do, the regular oh, this just happened, so I have to formulate a hot take because that's what everyone wants for clicks. I'm not going to do that, guys. I'm not going to put this as a headline. What? Oh, Q thinks, you know, Jordan has been surpassed by LeBron. I'm not going to do that to you. I'm not going to do that. What I will do is I will say he surpassed Bird indefinitely now. I think he surpassed people like Bill Russell and Wilt and all those guys. He's been past those guys, honestly. But he's certified top five. So I want to get back to my point because I got off on a little bit of a tangent. I'm going to close out with this. LeBron James is a top five player in NBA history. He beat a team that was 73-9. He beat a team that was up 3-1. And he did it by all odds against him. All odds. No one gave them a chance. This was Warriors all the way. Oh, Warriors are going to dust them off in five games maybe. My partner and my buddy Ryan, other half off the bench, he said, oh, Golden State in six. Golden State is going to win. And after every game, I would ask Ryan, after game two, that is, I told people, as soon as I saw the Cavs' response, I said, on Twitter, you can check my record, I said, this is going seven games. You can ask anybody on the Dead End Sports crew, this is certified. Now, the reason why I said that was going seven games is because of LeBron's greatness. You have to give him his respect. I also said this on a video, well, more like audio, because I said this was going seven when we did our predictions. And this is a testament to LeBron's greatness. Like I said, 73-9, up 3-1. Only three players on that team were consistent for seven games. Kyrie, Bron, and Tristan. And even at the beginning of the finals, Bron was not doing as good as he should have been. But guess what, fam? Check this out. He responded like champions do. He responded like grown-ass men do when people call you a fuckboy and they, you know, tweet baby bottle emojis and they said this is a man's league. Let's be very real here. Any other player might have just folded and said, man, I'm just got my ass kicked. It's 3-1. I might as well not even fight. But LeBron said, I'm going to fight and I'm going to take this to seven games. He gave them at least 30 for the next three games after game five. Including game five. Come on now. This man's greatness needs to be cherished, dude. So, anyone still holding on to the decision? How do you feel now? Every other day of the year, you shit on Cleveland until the day that someone brings up how Bron is a great guy. Oh, Bron is great. Well, the decision. They did the people of Ohio dirty. But every other single day of the year, there's nothing but memes about how Cleveland's a terrible city, Ohio's a terrible state, the Browns are a bunch of losers, and everything. But the moment that Bron's integrity is brought up, you want to bring it up in the manner of, well, I don't like what he did to the people of Cleveland. Well, how do you feel now? The man just got a ring. The man just brought the ring back to his hometown. This is 18 years of work. This is high school dreams. This is stuff he talked about when he was in, you know, calculus and, you know, geometry and all that stuff, and, you know, earth science. He's probably in the back of the class saying, yeah, I'm definitely going to win a championship to the city. He left. Everybody hated him. Oh, man, he wants to go team up. I didn't hate the decision. I didn't hate it. You all can say I'm biased. I don't, you know, oh, Q, you just because just some bullshit as an excuse. It happens. I like LeBron James. I love his game. As a person, he's a great guy. We need to respect the greatness is all I'm saying, you all. Respect the greatness. All right, that's going to be it for today's post-work. This has been Q to Six Man signing off. I respect everybody who follows Off the Bench. Go follow that on Twitter, at Off the Bench. You spell T-H-A for the. And everything else is the correct English spelling. So go and do that. Follow me on Twitter at Q Got No Rings. I ain't got no rings because the Sixers ain't got no rings. I know I got a question about why do I call myself Q Got No Rings. That's because the Sixers ain't got no rings since 83, and I'm just not having it, man. I need to give me a ring. And plus, I didn't get no rings when I was playing basketball. So I'm a loser, but I'm still a winner at the same time. Same way I'm a sham and a prophet at the same time. Well, that's going to be it, you guys, for this week, for this time, for this day. I am Q, and this has been Post Work.